Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to start reading here Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. What this is saying basically is that God has given you the land. He's not rented it to you. He's not leased it to you. He has given you the land. And not only that, he's saying for every part of that land that you take possession of, you're going to have to contend in battle. So when you go into Canaan, get ready to fight. You don't fight physically, you fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Verse 25. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Now what is happening here is now God is about to take his people over to a place called Canaan. Canaan represents the promised land, the land that God has promised, and you can find your promised land in the Bible. And so as this promised land is there, God has given it to them. And so now he's sending them over. Now, one thing that happened in this land is that God had to deal with people who, in fact, were unbelievers. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5. Over in Joshua chapter 5, and I'll just start here. Let's just start up here for the sake of people who are not aware of what's going on. Verse 6. Let's just start at verse 6. He says this, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with what? Milk and honey." All right? "And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised after they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp until they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." Now, I just want you to wait. Let's start, look at that verse here. So that particular verse says, I've rolled away the reproach, the shame. Anything that represents that old life, any of your emotional hurts, all of that, we've purged. We've taken care of. God's got enough power in his word to fix anything in you that's broke. Are you with me here? All right. And let's go to the next verse, please. "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased." Say, "the manna ceased." In other words, he pulled the baby bottle out of their mouth. Glory to God. On the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn and of the land, corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. And he said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, neither. In other words, I'm not taking sides, I'm taking over. Praise God. He said, But as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face into the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What shall my Lord What saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein you standeth is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's just stop right there, all right? So we're seeing here that Joshua is now new leadership. He's taking the people over into Canaan. Well, now how did Joshua get this new leadership? Well, we saw it when the 12 spies in Numbers chapter 13 went out to spy out the land of Canaan. And as they went to spy it out, they came back. And once they came back, the Bible says 10 of them had what we call a what kind of report? An evil report. Now, what did they do? They began to preach something. Can I call them preachers? Okay, they came back to a congregation, so let's just call them preachers. They began to preach something God did not say. Got it? Now, the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, the gospel to Abraham was that you're going to have a child. This is after he had passed the age of childbearing and his wife never had a child. And the gospel said, you're going to have a child. The gospel says to you, by his stripes, you are healed. Say amen to this. So, what am I saying? So they came back. And once they came back and 10 of them gave an evil report. Now, what's got to happen? Now we got to go and wait on these. No, the 10 that gave the evil report affected the entire congregation. And the entire congregation now believed that they could not take the giants. No way. So they began to weep all night and so forth and so on. It's amazing what people can see in their imagination that'll make them weep. You know what I mean? Something that's not even going to happen. And so what we got to do is make sure that our minds are affected by the word of God. Praise God. So what happened here is now they're going to go in there. God is now waiting on them to die out. It's been 40 years. They died all out. I mean, if they took vitamins every day, three times a day, that still wouldn't have kept them alive. God had to do something with that group because he had to take the next generation in. I came to announce to you that you are the next generation. You're the ones he's been waiting for. So what happens now is we've got to go in. So this, I want you to see the gravity of this thing. 10 leaders affected 3 million people. 10 leaders stopped 3 million people from getting the best of God. 10 leaders when they preach. I'm just saying, you gotta make sure who your leaders are. Praise God. If this thing is outside of the word of God, and you got to watch it, because the enemy doesn't want you to take the best of God. He doesn't want you to get the best out of this life. He wants to keep us struggling, keep us mad, keep us blaming, so forth and so on. Now, I'm going to talk about a little bit about this now, so brace yourself. Praise the Lord. Because this is where I left off with last time. We're talking on the subject. The title of this particular series that we're in is called Receiving Your Inheritance. And the subtitle is Believing in the Blessing. Say, I believe in the blessing. All right. So, as we look at this, here you and I have come into the kingdom of God. And once we come into the kingdom of God, then we have a whole new future that has just opened up to us because we're in the kingdom of God. And what we said here is, and let me just, I'm trying to get the same track that I had this morning, is that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13, the Bible talks about us. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Watch this. Who hath delivered us from the what? Power of darkness and has translated us where? Into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, once you're in the kingdom, you're blessed. I said, once you're in the kingdom, you are blessed. Now, we talked about what the blessing is. And we saw this back in Genesis, where God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve, and said unto them, what? Be fruitful, come on, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have what? Dominion over what? The fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over everything, praise God, that moveth upon the earth. So God blessed them and said unto them. That tendency is you think that he's communicating. He's not. He's passing on the power of the blessing. Now, the power of the blessing is truly powerful, because this blessing is a thing that God used basically to create everything. It's a scripture, what the scripture calls the thing that created all matter. It's called the blessing. Often, sometimes in some translation, God is referred to as the blessed one. And he is the one that spoke the blessing. And when he spoke that let there be light, there was no light to be found. It was all darkness. Let there be trees. There was no organization of that out there. So God spoke some things into being. Now he took this same creative power and gave it to a man, gave it to Adam and Eve. And he blessed them and said to them, now you take over. Be fruitful. Make this thing fruitfully produce and multiply and replenish. Replenish means to perpetually renew and supply it, to create full abundance in this earth. You're going to do, and get this, subdue everything that's in this thing that does not meet your approval. In other words, you are the ones that's running this earth. So he turned it over to a man. Of course, God has supreme jurisdiction. We understand that. But you and I are the resident physicians of this earth. We're the ones who are the new sheriffs in town. We're the ones that are going to order things. Whatever we bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, say amen, is loosed on heaven. So now, what God is saying is that use the blessing for this. So people don't know what the blessing is. And so when you look up the word blessing, it comes in the Hebrew as barakah, barakah. And we said that it's from the root word barak. And this word barak has to do with, you've heard it in a name, or you've heard it, some of you, in the Hebrew. It means to endue with power for success. It means to endue with power for success. So when we're talking about this power for success, it can be this supernatural success. It's not anything natural. When you're talking about the barakah, you're talking about supernatural empowerment to do things. It could be supernatural increase. It could be supernatural favor. Could be supernatural fruitfulness, protection, supernatural longevity, supernatural favor and promotion. I'm talking about everything. When this blessing comes in your life, this blessing is so powerful till it changes everything. It changes your whole life. And there's nothing in this earth can even compete with the blessing. You don't compete with the blessing. It dominates everything that it has come in contact with. But you and I are now, when that blessing comes, we're going to have to understand and receive glory to God, and we're going to have to put faith in that blessing. I said have to put faith in that blessing. I gave them an example this morning. I said, you know, I used to watch a lot of Westerns. You know, I like Westerns. And there was a guy used to come on, and somebody would have their gun, and they're going to draw on him, and this is what he'll say, make my day. I don't know whether you've heard that. That's Clint Eastwood. And so what he's saying, that he's saying, hey, okay, you want to do this? Make my day. Well, this is what God is telling you. He said, I got the blessing on you, so make my day. In other words, if I use example that if you're going to buy a car, let's say my son wanted to buy a car in his younger days, and he wanted to buy a car, and he said, Dad, you know, I've saved up some money for the car. I said, I tell you what, son, whatever you've saved, I'll double it. Now, what kind of car do you think he's going to go out and shop for? Is he going to shop for one that he can afford? Come on. Or that we can afford? I'm just saying, make my day. I'm saying, if you got the blessing on your life, are you stepping out in that blessing and allowing God's blessing to kick in and make your day? So I'm just saying, now, what does this blessing do? So they come back now, because it doesn't work with unbelief. It doesn't work with blaming. It doesn't work with that. I know it might be some injustice, but that's where you seek the justice system. My point to you is that if you're coming into the kingdom, the Bible talks about anybody that comes into the kingdom. Look what it says, and look at Luke chapter 17, verse 1. This is people who are coming into the kingdom. Now, Jesus warns you. He said this. He said in Luke 17, verse 1, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, if you're going to be in the kingdom, you're going to have an opportunity to get offended. Now, this is one of the few times Jesus says something is impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. But Jesus said, this is impossible. It is impossible for you to be in the kingdom and not have an opportunity to be offended. Are you with me? So you may as well just get ready. Look what he says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. And he said, he talks about the sower soweth the word. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, and have those that sow the seed of word of God, but they have no root in themselves, but so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction of persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. So you're coming in here and you get the word. I'm not talking about dog food. I'm talking about the word. You're getting the word. You're getting what the 10 didn't preach. You're getting what God said you can do, what you can be, and what you can have. Now, as soon as you get that, the enemy is mad about it. So what does he do? Sends affliction and what else? Come on, group. Persecution. And it comes for what sake? It doesn't come because you're so cute. It comes because you got the word of God. And you got the word of God, you can expect that next level, you're going to hit another devil. And you're going to have to fortify your mind and your emotions so that you won't get them out of hack. Why? So I'm saying to you right now that you getting the word of God in here, you got to be on the lookout. I'm not saying believe for it. I'm saying understand that it's coming. And when it's coming, you got to keep up the shield of faith. And you got to cut down every fiery dart of the devil, because he'll come and try to put a little pain in your leg or something. And then he'll shoot a thought in there and say, oh, that's a blood clot. It's coming. You say, I rebuke you, you foul, unclean devil. Say amen to that. Folks, when you're getting promoted in the kingdom of God, believe me, when you get promoted to another level, look out, because here comes something. And most of it is not coming from folks you don't know. Some of it's coming from cousin Leroy and Aunt Amy. You know what I mean? My point to you is understand your job is not to get offended. Your job is to hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. Say amen to that. All right, let's look at another one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm preparing you for this because you're about to meet some giants in the land. And when I say giants, I mean giant opportunities. Come on now, giant promotions. Come on, there's some giants in the land. Look what he says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. How many? All. Now, I'm not being persecuted. Get saved. We're going to have that opportunity right at the end of this service for you to get saved. Because if you're living godly, you're going to suffer some persecution. Are you following what I'm saying? So now we see this, and going into that land, what happens is you get these temptations and this opportunity to do that. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 10. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible talks here about temptation. Verse 13, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to God. But God is faithful. Say God, pardon me, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say God is faithful. Say it one more time. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation, he'll make a way to escape that you may be able to endure it. I'm here to tell you, you will never face anything you cannot overcome. So I don't care how tall that problem is. I don't care what that doctor just said. I don't care what they said about your child. I don't care what it is. Whatever that temptation trial is that coming in on your life, you stay in faith, because when you are in faith, you will never face anything you will not be able to overcome. In other words, God assures you that if you can't overcome this, he'll hold it back and won't even let you face it. But when you do face something, you know you will overcome this. Say, I will overcome. Say, I have overcome. Now, this is your season for going in and getting the best of God. So many of us have been settling for second best and third best and just trying to make ends meet and just trying to survive. God didn't call you to survive. He called you to thrive. He called you to be one of the examples of heaven on earth. And this is your season for doing it. You are the generation he has chosen. It's time for you to take center stage and understand that you're now to play your part in God's redemptive work in this earth. Say amen to that. Amen. So what am I saying to you? Be strong. I said be strong. This be strong is not a suggestion. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said be strong in the Lord and in the power, come on, of his might. So you're going to be strong. Say, I'm going to be strong. You're going to be strong because it's not an option. God wants you to be strong because only the strong are going to take the spoil. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. That only the strong will take the spoil. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with who? The strong. So you're going to be strong going into that place. So with you, no longer are you going to be weak. Because the Bible says in the book of Joel chapter 2, let the weak say what? I am strong. No longer are you going to be selfish. This is not just for you. You're doing this for many other people that are going to come with you and behind you. This is not a place for the insecure. This is not a place for the insecure. Now, I want to talk about this just a minute. Because you can't bless and blame at the same time. Woo, they don't work together, my friend. I tried it. It doesn't work. Now, let's just look at this. You know, this guy told me something. I heard it. No, he didn't tell me. I heard this. And he was talking about self-esteem. And it was mentioning, the guy asked him, what kind of music do you like? He started telling. And he said, yeah, I like Michael Jackson. And so he said, but he lost it though. You know, he had that accident and then he had that face thing done and they messed him up. They just messed him up and he lost his confidence. And you know, when you lose your confidence, you lose your talent. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, man. And then I begin to think about this. This, what we're doing here, called faith and the blessing, it was never meant to work for folk with low self-esteem. Now, listen, I'm not talking about anybody. I don't have time for that. My point, even over in Ecclesiastes, let me just turn over there for just a minute. I want to try and find the scripture. In Ecclesiastes, now that's Ecclesiastes, not Ecclesiastics. Now in Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 10 and verse 16, woe to the land when the king is a child. It's a child. You get somebody with low self-esteem and leadership, you're about to get hurt. Because the decisions have to be made right. Say amen to that. And I'm just saying, these people came back from that wilderness and find out the land of Canaan, and this is the first thing they said. We are in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. That's low self-esteem. See, don't look to a man to give you your esteem. Don't look to a man to give you your esteem. You know, I go places and I walk and somebody comes in to meet me. Oh, you look a lot taller on TV. I want to say, shut up, ladies. You know, what that's supposed to do to me? What that's supposed to do to me? What that's supposed to do to me? You follow what I'm saying? It don't make no difference. You can get 7 foot tall people with low self-esteem. You see, it ain't on the outside. It's up in here. I might be little inside, but I got the heart of a lion. Come on now. Amen. If you don't believe it, go up against me. See, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you keep yourself like that, you'll make right decisions every time. Say amen to that. Look at David. That's why the God told, he knew David wasn't the one. He said, he came to the house, said, Jesse, look, I'm the prophet. I need one of your kids been selected to take over the king of Israel. He said, oh, okay, well, I believe I know who that is. Hey, Eliab, come on in here. Eliab had just been to the gym. Come on now, y'all help me. I'm telling you, the enemy are closing. I just came from Miami. He said, well, you know, Pastor, we had it so-and-so, and he's working out every day. I couldn't understand. He's so big and so forth and had a massive heart attack. That's the devil, man. Because it ain't on the outside. That's right. Now, wait a minute. You want to work out. You want to look like me. But the point of it is, don't hate. I asked, was any haters in here? I asked that when we started. But you see how you can have something on the outside and no spiritual power on the inside, man. So I'm saying that when he said that, I said, whoa, man. So the enemy's job is to get your esteem down. Now you can't muster up the faith that it takes, and let alone operate in the blessing. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? No. Get your esteem from God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He told you who you are.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes.
And watch this. He has no spiritual defects. Glory to God, baby. Yes, boy, I feel it over here. It's over here somewhere. Yes. Boy, somebody over here about to take something. Yes. Yes. Is that you? Yes, all right. No. See, you go into that, and the next thing you start blaming everybody and so forth and so on. You can't bless and blame. No. You got to go with God, who God says you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, this blessing, it's the same power that God used to create all of this. Now, he's loosing this on you. Got it? So, let me just, glory to God, that time. So if we look at this, this blessing, the word barakah, has to do with to endue with power for success, and everything in there becomes a supernatural empowerment, that you have supernatural favor. That you have supernatural enablement Watch this. For business decisions. That you have supernatural. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh what? Rich. And addeth what? No sorrow. Is there a S on blessing? No. Why? Because he's not talking about blessings. Blessings are new cars, healings, promotion. So those are blessings. He's not talking about those. He's talking about what makes those. He's talking about the blessing. Come on, make my day. He's talking about the blessing here. And so this blessing is the word baraka, the blessing. And it comes from the root word barak, which means to endure for with power for your life, for everything. Things happen for you. Ordinary people don't experience this. They will see the blessing on your life. He came and told Abraham. It says over in Genesis, glory to God. Help me, Holy Ghost. In Genesis, in chapter 12 now. In Genesis chapter 12, we see this blessing coming back again. Let me just write another scripture. Are y'all with me so far? Now, this is one of the most powerful teachings I have ever done. I did the blessing of Abraham teaching, and a man sat up there in one of those things, and I didn't even know he was there, named Donald Lawrence. And he took it and wrote a whole musical album on the blessing of Abraham. Y'all remember that? Where did he go on the charts with that? To the top. It will take you to the top. You are, I don't care who you are, if you embrace the blessing and don't let it go through getting mad, unforgiveness, come on, you embrace that blessing and stay in faith, it will take you to the top. You will go not only to the top of your industry, you will go to the top of your community, you will go, Lord have mercy, you will go to the top of your your proficiency will go to the top. Why? Because you're not doing it based on your enablement. You're doing it based on what? Make my day. You're doing it based on what God is going to give you. Say amen. That you can do something they can't do. And it's meant to distinguish you. Why? So that you'll provide leadership and influence for an unsaved generation. They will see something on your life and say, what do you have? You say, it's a blessing. How did you get it? Jesus came into my life. And when he did, the blessing of Abraham came on me. Man, this is good preaching here. Now look how he had to get Abraham off his system. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. And he said this. And now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. Get yourself off the system. Get yourself off depending on family folk. Come on, kinfolk. Come on now. Get yourself. Why? Because the blessing doesn't work when you see something else as your source. See, God's got to move you into a place. Come on, see, one man came here and preached, here's what he said. In America, your resources have become your stumbling block. What he's saying is you're putting the bank above God. Maybe you should reverse that order. Say amen to that. Look at the next verse, what he says here in verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. This is God talking to you, because everything he's saying to Abraham, pass it right through. And I will what? Bless thee, barak thee, and Yah, and make thy name great. And what will you be? You're going to be what? You're going to be what? A blessing, a baraka. It's not done until you bless somebody else. I said, it's not done until you bless somebody else. See, this won't work for selfishness. All right, let's look at another place. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. We've covered some of this, but I'm trying to get it in your system first, because I got to move on to commanding the blessing. See, you can command a blessing. God will command. He told the woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, I've command. He told the prophet, I've commanded the birds to feed you. And he commanded the birds, and the birds brought him food twice a day when everybody else was starving. God can command animals to bring you food. You better say amen. But then the brook dried up, and the man of God said, what do I do now, Lord? He said, go down to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Listen, she didn't even know she was being under Holy Ghost control. She just knew that when the man of God came to her, she said, I'm supposed to feed him. Praise God. I'm just saying, a friend of mine, Pastor, he said, Pastor, guess what? This happened to me. He said, I'm here in California. He said, a man called me late one night. He said, listen, he called me in the daytime. He said, listen, I want you to come out and see my house. I think I'm supposed to give you my house. He said, I thought it was a prank. I hung up. He said, 2 weeks later, called me panicking. Listen, did you hear what I said? Listen, I was out here in Vegas doing something, and God said, get up and give that man your house. Now, this was a heathen, stone heathen. Why? Because the Bible says God is head of the heathen. Come on now, is this the right button? Let me go up over here. He is head of the heathen. I'm telling you now, you don't need to sweat it out. You don't need to know nobody at City Hall. What you need to know is somebody in heaven. You need to know that God's got the blessing on you, and he can command things to happen for you. He went to agree with the man. He said he pulled up at the gate, and the man he buzzed the gate, and the man said, the gates will open, come on. And the house was 150 yards from the gate. And he pulled up at the house. The house he went and looked at the house, and the man was standing at the house with, you know, the doors were open, and he saw a waterfall falling behind him. And he said, my goodness, you got a waterfall in the house? He said, yeah, it's falling over an onyx stone that I got from so-and-so. And he said, well, come on through. Now, the man don't even know what onyx is. And come on, don't just say amen. Just say amen. We'll debrief after. That's a funny word, ain't it? Debrief. That sounds like something I'm supposed to do just with my wife. Okay, but anyway, so he said, you know, and so what happened now? He went and looked at how he asked the man, said, how much did it cost? He said, last appraisal was $7.5 million. He said, now I'm supposed to take your house, which is about $250,000, and a note on it, and give you this house. This house is paid for. And he got that house. I flew out there to see it. Now, what did God do? He commanded a blessing. Now, you wait till we get to that, because I'm going to load you up. This thing here, see, with this, look at Proverbs chapter, Lord have mercy. I know I'm in Deuteronomy, look at Proverbs first. Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs, come right back. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Boy, this thing. Listen, since I've been preaching, this stuff been coming to me. All you got to do is know it. Put it right down in here. And the blessing of the Lord, what? Maketh rich, and what? Add no sorrow. Put it up there in the NIV translation, please. The blessing of the Lord, what? The blessing of the Lord, what? It does what? It brings wealth without what? Painful toil. See, no sorrow with it. What we've been doing without the blessing is trying to make something happen ourselves. That's not the deal. The deal is the blessing makes it happen. Watch this. You don't need to add to yourself one more time. From now on, the blessing is going to add to you. Whatever is needed, proficiency is needed, it's going to add to you. Come on. Your promotion is needed, it's going to add to you. Come on. Whatever is needed, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. You know, some people looking at me like a calf with a new gate. I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you the truth. Get your mind, stop thinking struggle. No more struggle, no more toil. Stop thinking that, come on, stop thinking that. All you got to do is seek God. God's gonna open up doors for you. See, he's saying, I'm gonna give you the blessing without sorrow. In other words, no more aftertaste. It's gonna be all good. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all what? Nations of the earth. Above who? You see what I'm saying? You're going to be the top. It doesn't make any difference what they got and how they got it. We're not taking sides. We're taking over. By the way, that angel that you saw in Joshua, that's Jehovah Saba. That's the same word that has to do with messengers that are sent to do things for you. We'll cover that when we get there. But I got a lot to say on this blessing. Now, let's just do one more part of that. Look at verse 2 in that same thing. He said, and all these what? Blessings. Now, what brings the blessings? The blessing. You got to understand, I got to have the blessing first. And I have to have the blessing by getting born again. Once I get born again and empowered by God, the blessing of the Lord is on my life. Say amen. Look at verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Now, I think I better start at verse 8 in that same teaching, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, please. Thank you. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouse. Wait till we get to that. Let's go down to verse 10. And the Lord, verse 10, please. And all the people of the earth shall what? See that you are called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. I'm just reading the scripture. Look at the next verse. And the Lord shall make you what? Plenteous and good. Please put that up there in the Amplified translation, please, and just let them see what that looks like. Come on. He said this. Glory to God. Amplified translation, please. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amplified translation. Amplified translation. And the Lord shall make you have a what? Now, who's going to do this? Next verse. The Lord shall open on you his good treasure in heaven and give you rain in your land in season and bless all the work of your hands, and you shall to many nations. Come on. And not borrow. Keep going, please. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Above. Never beneath. Genesis chapter 27, and we're done. 27. And I don't have my Bible with me. Whatever verse I used is one. I'm not sure what I used. Glory to God. Yeah. All right. This is Isaac now. And what happens? This is where Jacob sneaked in to steal the blessing. Now, if you haven't valued this blessing yet, it's worth billions. If you haven't valued it yet. But he comes in, and notice what happens. He comes in and puts on it just like he's his brother Esau, because Esau, the firstborn, see? And so the firstborn normally supposed to get the blessing. But God has a prophetic agenda. See, he had to flip it. You know, God's still God, you know. And so what happened? Here comes Jacob, dressed like Esau, fooled his dad. His dad begins to bless him. Here's what he says. And therefore God give the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, keep going, and let the people serve thee and nations bow down to thee and be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Put that up there, that verse right there in the Living, if you could, your Living Bible translation. Watch what it says. Many nations become your servants. Watch this. And may they bow down to you, and you may be the master of your brethren. Watch, this is what his dad told him when Esau came in for the blessing. He said, wait a minute, I've just blessed somebody. He said, well, don't you have another blessing? No, because there's only what? One blessing. Only one blessing. The way you got it is to get under Jesus. The blessing is on him. And it runs right down to his body. Glory to God. It's only one blessing. And check it out. Here's what he told him. Sorry. I've just made him your master. Watch this. For life. Because you can't wash the blessing off. The devil can't separate you from it. Once it's on you, it sticks. You can't get it off. Now, here's what I want to finish up with. Make my day. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. Make my day, saith the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Guaranteed, if you hear me preach this just a little bit more, your confidence in that blessing is going to rise. Watch this. And you'll see no more struggle in your life. No more. Blessing takes away all the struggle. If you're here, God's spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to get you saved. And I want to get you saved right now. And the reason why, you wouldn't be here if God didn't have a plan for you. So let me do for you what they did for me that night on the north side of Chicago, and let me bring you into the kingdom and watch this blessing start operating in your life. Whoever's here and you know that you're not right with God, but you'd like to be, this is your opportunity right here. This is a soul-saving station. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure I want to be a part of that church. We'll send you wherever you want to go. Just let us bring you in. So let me call you right now. Whoever it is, and you're ready to be blessed. You're ready to get out of this struggle that you're in and get over into God's best. He's ready for you. He brought you here today. Now, don't come this far and don't come all the way. Whoever it is right now, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me here at the altar. Let me pray for you right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.